I guess I want to now, so try to go through, is my Agav again? Yeah. So let's go back to, the Manishtana really needs separate treatment, which I'm not going to do, and I don't think it's necessary to do it right now, but it does need separate treatment. You have to learn the Mishnah and Sokim, and then you have to see what questions the Rambam has, what questions we have, the distinction between the two, and that is certainly something which is worthy of investigation. Avodim Ayin Leparav Mitzrayim. And now starting the actual text of the Haggadah. Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishon Yav Chazaka Lezor Metzuya. And then we have the famous statement that the Baal Haggadah says, V'ilu Lahotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zal Hoseinu Mitzrayim, had He not taken us out of Mitzrayim, Harionu Ubaneinu Ubnei Baneinu Meshuvadim Ayinu Leparav Mitzrayim. We would still be where? We will still be Meshuvah to Parav Mitzrayim. It's a very famous kasha that the Korshim asked on this statement in the Haggadah. Is that so? So the Ramban answered the kasha by saying yes, because Mitzrayim, Chazal say, was like a fortress to such an extent where it was not possible for a slave to literally free himself from the fortress of Egypt. So they understand this line in a very literal kind of way, that simply, we would still be there. But that is not the understanding of Muslim Mefarshim. And Muslim Mefarshim basically assume differently. And they assume somehow we might have been able to escape. However, we're talking about, as I said earlier, two types of Abdus. One type of Abdus, of course, is a physical Abdus. The other type of Abdus is not a physical Abdus, but rather refers to a spiritual type of Abdus. So even HaKlal Yisrael, shall we say, somehow been able to escape from the bondage of Egypt, it would not have made a difference. Because we still would have been in a spiritual kind of bondage without, of course, the Torah that we received. That's what the Ram points out. In the end of Masechet Pesachim, the Ram points out the whole idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim was only a means to an end. The whole idea of Abbas Mitzrayim was only a means to an end. Namely, the end being, Tavdu Nesalokim al-Har Hazeh, we should become a Shubad to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But notice the language. It doesn't say that we would be what? Avodim to the power of Mitzrayim. No, what does it say? Mishubadim. And all the Yachronim where we talk about why the language is Mishubadim or Yidu the power of Mitzrayim. Why does it say Mishubadim, not Avodim? And that's exactly the point. Because in effect, what Hashem did, what the Baal HaGadol wants to tell us, is that that Shibud, namely I'm talking about a Shibud in terms of our mentality and our mindset and the like, would still be to power of Mitzrayim. It would be a secular culture and a secular hashkafa, and that's why, even though physically we would be perhaps not enslaved, but as far as the Shiva is concerned, we would still be Meshuvah. The Rav Zecheinu Livracha always pointed out on this line, Avodim Ayinu, the power of Mitzrayim. Why does he have to say we were slaves to power in Egypt? Does it make a difference to whether we were slaves to power or to somebody else? Says Dafka, the power of Mitzrayim. Apparently, there are two types of relationships between, let's say, an Adon and an Eved. Sometimes an Eved is owned by an individual, and sometimes an Eved is owned by a state or by a country. And even though both types of Abdus are degrading, there's a distinction between private bondage and public bondage. When you're owned by an individual, you can actually even attain a position of power. Maharaya Yosef was essentially a servant in whose home? The home of Potiphar. And yet, Yosef achieved, obviously, tremendous power in his master's household. But if, let's say, the slave is the property of a corporate state, of a state that's run by a tyrant, by an autocrat, by a despot, by a dictator, there's no personal relationship, there's no friendship, no sympathy, no personal contact. And usually the slaves of a state lose their identity. Correct? It is an impersonal, cool kind of relationship that is ongoing, that exists, that endures, that persists. There's not any humanity in the institution of state slavery. I don't know if you ever read Uncle Tom's Cabin. Max, you have not read it. You read it. Okay. It's a, it's a classic. But that's what the Baal HaGadol, the Abdil, is trying to stress over here. Avodim Ayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. And that was basically, Egypt was a corporate state. The head was Paro, but he was not an individual. We don't even know his name. We know all the pharaohs were called Paro, correct? That's the name. But even the personality of the king was erased. And as in a slave society, it like we become a faceless crowd. That's what Avodim Ayinu the power of the Mitzrayim. We were faceless slaves, the relationship was impersonal, and that's a cruel relationship. Sometimes a person can have a relationship with an Adon of a personal nature, as Yosef had with the Potiphar. But this was considerably worse. And by Yotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, by the way, it's interesting that here it says, by Yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mitzrayim, Yod Hazaka, Uvzua Nitzuya. Okay, maybe we'll just leave that to the end. Afil Kulon Chacham, let's just go further. Afil Kulon Chacham, Kulon Levon, Kulon Uskeinim, Kulon Yodim Satorah. This, of course, is there are three types of personalities introduced here. Chachamim, Levonim, and Yodim Satorah. Chacham, of course, is someone who is has tremendous amounts of knowledge. A Levon is maybe Levon Mitoch Dabar. He can actually formulate, he can explain, he can synthesize, and a Yodim Sefer is a scholar can apply. And all of us are obligated to engage in this mitzvah of Sibbet Siyas Mitzrayim. The Rav held that Pesach night is the reenacting of the drama of Mitzrayim. That's what the Rav Mishitis Chayivan Laharis has asked. Gidu Yatza Ata Mishivut Mitzrayim. We have to actually demonstrate it, and we are in effect reenacting the entire story of the Siyas Mitzrayim. It's very interesting that we've shown him, I think we mentioned this yesterday, someone asked me this question. Why don't we make a bracha, Berachas HaMitzvah, on the mitzvah of Sibbet Siyas Mitzrayim? It's a famous kasha. If there's a mitzvah called Sibbet Siyas Mitzrayim, it's Tasei, why don't we make a bracha on it? Same kasha as yesterday, why don't we make a bracha on Kriyashma? Every night, Hashem Kriyash Shon, so it's not Likras Hashma. The Ram discusses this, not the Ram, but the Yena, Masel Brachas. And this kasha also discussed by Rav Haigon, Rav Ambum Gon, by the Rashba. Then we show you the rest of this kasha, why don't you make a bracha on the mitzvah of Sibbet Siyas Mitzrayim? The Rosh in Brachas talks about this. The very beginning of the second brachas. So the Rashi answers by Kriya Shema, because Kriya Shema is in effect patterned or framed as Kriya Shema b'Birchos Seah. And therefore you don't make a bracha on a bracha. I think I mentioned this. Did I not? Maybe I didn't. You don't make a bracha on a bracha. So here also I would say, Sibbet Siyas Mitzrayim is also framed in the context of Dalet Kosos, correct? Each Kosos is a separate mitzvah. I mentioned this last night. Were you here last night? So I mentioned this last night. Each kos is framed in the miskeret of a bracha, and that's why you don't make a bracha on a bracha. And here also, I would say the same thing applies to the mitzvah of Sibbet Siyas Mitzrayim. No bracha is made on a bracha. Probably the other reason is because Sibbet Siyas Mitzrayim is not a ma'isa mitzvah which is defined very precisely. And whenever you don't have a specific, clearly defined, enunciated ma'isa mitzvah, then a bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah, is not made on it. I just mentioned that Derech Agav, because this is a famous question that's discussed by many, many Haggadahs. You take a look. But anyway, here it says, Chol Amar B'Lesaper Yitzias Mitzrayim Harez Meshuvach. I mentioned when I said over the Rambam the other day, when the Rambam compares it to Shabbos, the mitzvah is not just to remember, but also to verbalize, L'Saper. The Rav used to quote Midrashim in Chazal, the beginning of Shmos and Ve'era, that a slave, especially Kali Yisrael Mitzrayim, didn't have the ability to speak. A slave lives in silence. It's almost a meaningless kind of existence. He can't even express himself. And a free person is able to express himself. One of the distinctions between a free person and a slave is that a free person has the ability to articulate ideas. A slave is basically chained. A slave is, to a large extent, unable to express himself. And that's what the Baal HaGadol says. V'chol Amar B'Lesaper Yitzias Mitzrayim Harez HaMeshubach. So this is the transformation of a slave to a free man is also the ability to express himself. Yeah, what do you want to say? Yeah, Max, yeah.
If there's no Maisa Mitzvah, how do we know when we're Kema Mitzvah, Sibbet Siyas Mitzrayim?
The answer is that you mekayem it with anything that you tell over. However, of course, there are different levels. The more you tell over, the greater the Kema Mitzvah. Kol Amar Be'erez Meshuvah doesn't mean you're not mekayem it.
If once you say I want one thing over, then there still should be a bracha.
Why? A bracha is only said when you have very specific ma'isa mitzvah. There's no specific ma'isa mitzvah.
Well, bracha is a Torah. Is there a specific ma'isa mitzvah bracha is a Torah?
There is a ma'isa mitzvah bracha is a Torah. It's said on the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Now, it's true. Talmud Torah ain't lo shir. Talmud Torah, the more you learn, obviously, every limud haTorah is a kiyum mitzvah. So we're going like Shai Saliyo. Every single act of Talmud Torah, but still the bracha there is made. Asher Kedushah Mitzvot Zeh Lasa Gedivrei Torah. The bracha is not on Talmud Torah. The bracha is on the Hisaskus. That's the Nusach Ashkenaz. The Rikha has a different Nusach. I'll Divrei Torah. But according to our Nusach, Asher Kedishon Sosusel Lassach Divrei Torah, so it's on the fact that I am Osek in Talmud Torah, that's what the Brach is made. And the Osek, of course, there is a specific act of being Osek in Talmud Torah.
There is?
Yes. Osek means the act of Hisaskus, which is the act of analyzing, of discussing, of studying in depth. That is called Hisaskus, the Talmud Torah, which is a Brach.
If I recite a few psukim, I wouldn't be king.
That's a very good question. The answer is, according to Asal Rishon, no, you would not be, because that is a kiyum mikra based on the Rashi brachas and other Rishonim as well. That the mikra, the kiyum is kriya, the kiyum of Talmud Torah, dafka havana. Without havana, without esek, without esaskus, what is not the kind of mitzvah of Talmud Torah? I want to mention one more thing also here. I did not mention it before, but. I'm a big chassid of a sefer called Olo Sefrayim by the Klei Yochar. My father was very into this sefer. So he explains the four kashyas in a very beautiful kind of way. Manishtana alayla zeh mikar alaylos. My father was going to say it over. Why is this golos, which is symbolized by darkness and night, different than any other golos in Lent? The fact that we don't know how long it's going to last. So he answers that there are really four reasons why Klei Yisrael went into Golos. And he based it on what it says here in the Haggadah. Shekar Leilos Anochim Chamitzu Matzah, Halayla Zeh Kulo Matzah. What does Chamitz represent? Quarreling, discord, lack of unity. Who just spoke to me about it yesterday? I forgot. I think Ilan, maybe you did. I don't remember anymore. Notice what happens, the Gemara says at the end of the first parak in Brachas, Sor Shevi Isa Maki. You know, the end of the second parak in Brachas, sorry. Yeah, it's the second parak. Sor shavisa make. What does it mean? Sor shavisa make. The yeast in the dough causes the dough to become agitated, causes it to rise. What does matzah represent? Humility. Matzah represents harmony. So the Baal HaGadol says the reason why this goal is different. Reason number one, because in the past goal also, although there was bickering, but peace and harmony existed among the Jews. However, this goal is unfortunately is total discord, lack of unity. Who just spoke to me about it yesterday? Yeah. How are we gonna? That's right. Thank you, Ryan Shlita, my Rebbe. So that's why the Baal HaGadol says, Kulo Matzah, Lashon Sakhi Noach, not to disturb the Kedusha Yomtev, but the fact is, he really means to say, Kulo Chametz, says the Klei Yochar. It means we are full of discord. That's number one. Number two, what's number two? Chalas Adu Ochlim Shar Yerokas, Halayla Zed Kulo Mora, says the Klei Yochar, that refers to the pursuit of materialism. In the past, he said there was not such a great longing for money, for wealth. People were satisfied with Shar Yerokas. Simple vegetables, basic necessities of life. But this golos is maror, which refers to money, because what a person thinks that by gathering and amassing riches is going to make you happier, generally he tends to marbe nechosim, marbe da'ago. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos. And bitter is the life of the person who attempts to become wealthy.
Number the question of saying no or again.
You don't like the Sagi Nor, the euphemistic pshatim over here. It's good, but it's a beautiful drasha.
That's
right. And I'm bothered by it also. My father showed me to say it over every year. I think the third one is B'chal Leilos, but to say, Enon Matbilim Afilu Pamecha, Salaila Zeh Shei Pamim, that means that in all the other Goliyos, we didn't dip our food at all. Because generally speaking, a person is a glutton. What does he do? Why does he serve all kinds of relishes? He was talking about tomato sauce and what have you, in order to whet their appetite so they'll be able to enhance their enjoyment of food. So that's the Halayla Zeh Shnei Pamim. We have a double portion of tigris. We're full of relishes and full of things that want to whet our appetite in order to be able to even increase the desire for sensuality even greater, even more, even further. And finally, the fourth one, under Ochlim Ben Yoshim Ben Mesubim, Halayla Zeh Kolod Mesubim, which of course, sitting by Seba represents a kind of vanity, haughtiness. Sitting in a reclining position represents gaiva. So another galuyos, even though it's true that we sometimes had gaiva, but we also had some humility today, we're just conceded from here to Chinatown. That's what Klayoka writes. It's just unbelievable, Klayoka. He's very into this kind of drash. My father loved the Klayoka. And it comes from the Sefer Olos Efrayim. I should also mention, interestingly enough, that I assume you are familiar with the fact that the number four is a very significant number at the Seder. Namely, how many things are in fours? Four kashas? Four kaisas?
Four sons.
Four sons. Anything else?
Four
Lashonos with Gula. What else?
Four Achilles based on Rama.
Four Fathers.
What does that mean exactly?
That's four Mitzvahs of Achilles.
Four Mitzvahs of Achilles. And they are? Matzah, Maror. What else?
Karpas and.
Karpas is not Mitzvah Achilles, but Pasha is except for Rama. Rama is
this and Rama.
I'm should eat a kazai, as we mentioned last night. We spoke about it. What's the fourth one? No, I'm not saying that.
If you want to say,
it's achilas. Four achilas. What?
If you want to say
that's wrong,
you
say
that.
Yeah. That's what we. Agos claims that this kazai and karmas belongs to tomorrow. Okay, fine. You're right. But what's the significance of four that we find to be very central here? So there's a very famous gun. I heard this from Rav Soloveitchik also. The guy says, he has in Bagonas Agra, that it represents the four worlds. The four worlds are Olam Hazer, Yemei Samashiach, Tchiyas HaMeisim, and Olam Haba. Again, Olam Hazer, this world.
We say it during Davening.
Yes, we do. I was about to say it. You stole my thunder. Good, David say. Ein kier kichom Hashem Elokeinu Boho Olam Hazeh V'yein Zulosko Zulosko Malkeinu. Except not exactly that order. Lecha Yei Olam Abo Ebes Biltecho. I only look at the singing in my shul. Go Aleinu Limos HaMashiach. Notice the order here. The order of the Ekeh is number one, Olam Hazeh, then Olam Haba, then Yemei Samashiach, and then Tchiyas HaMeisim. Is that the correct order?
No.
According to some,
Machlokes HaRishonim. But the Gaon has the four worlds as Olam Hazeh, Yemei Samashiach, Tchiyas HaMeisim, and Olam Haba. So Kiddush is the first cup in the sense of Olam Hazeh. The person has to sanctify himself in this world, has to Mekadosh himself. The second cup, I think the Goyen says, Yemei Samashiach. That's why you tell the Sibut Tzias Mitzrayim, because it says about the Yemei Samashiach, he made Tzeis from Eretz Yisrael and earned the flaws. The Navi says that the ultimate Gula is going to be based on one model, the model of Tzias Mitzrayim. The third cup is drunk after the Suda, corresponds to Tzias HaMeisim. Hashem is going to take the, some say it's the whale. Suda Asud Yosson. The Yosson comes from the whale. The Yassin is the great fish, the great Leviathan, and it's going to be for the Tzaddikim. Lassa Lava, I remember I'm suffering, I think it's a Kufi Dalam, the Gemara has this. And finally, the fourth thing, of course, is Olam Haba. That's where we drink it after saying Halal HaGadol. So going claims, this is the reason why we have actually these, the idea of four. Because four is a very prominent number in terms of the.
Which one's Chiyamitim? What is it?
What
is it representative? Tchiyas
HaMeisim, we say, represents in effect, which one did I say? The Levyasan. That's the third cup. Drunk after the Suda, Hashem is going to make the Suda Levyasan, that's Suda for the Tzaddik and Lassalabu. Anyway, this is the. I don't understand, I just say over from the Vilna Gaon. I don't claim to understand. This is a famous going, it's very fascinating. Okay, it needs more explanations. I'm not going to go into it right now. I don't think it's necessary. But I want to just make mention of the fact that here, when we start, right after Chacham Levodim, Kalamab El Sabi Tiyat Mitzrayim, Hariz and Meshubah, you probably know the Rosh Chochma is the one actually, but also I used to speak about this all the time. There's a famous contradiction in Gemara Esther Shabbos, the Gemara between two Mamor Chazal, Kalomer, what does it say there? Kalom Halal b'chol yom erizim b'chayv b'magadeh. Remember that? You say halal every day, you consider to be guilty of blasphemy. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Omer avisi arei zechelki, Omer halal b'chol yom. You should say halal every day. So which halal do we say every day? Psukot zivu. That's a halal that's desirable to say every day, because that's the halal on teva. And the teva of Hashem Yisbarach. Or with Asher, for example. Asher, we say, the Gemara says, the Brachos Abdallah, Kalei Ratzil Dov b'chol yom, Buftach lo shu ben, Olam Haba. So it's talking about, again, Suga de Zimbra, talking about natural phenomena, that the snow and the sun and the moon and what have you. Mashenkin, if you're asking Hashem to do miracles of Mahmoud, that's considered an act of Khir Vigido. So that's why there's a distinction between one and the other. So the reason why I say that is because here we're saying, Kalamarbi was something that Yasmin Sahib raised in Meshubach, and it would seem that that one should not be permitted to place too much emphasis to thank Hashem for all these wondrous nisim of the flaws which are the Malamidara Hatava. Because what happened in Mitzrayim? It was all also subversive of the Malamidara Hatava. Because by doing so, what are we doing? We're minimizing our emuna in the Hashkacha Pratis of Hashem's Baruch Hu operates in nature on a daily basis, which according to Ramban, by the way, Ramban, the end of Parshas Bo, said, which is greater? Nisim Nistorim, which is basically Teva, or Nisim Gluyim, where Hashem breaks Teva. What does Ramban say? Nisim Nistorim. Teva is even greater. So you might think that we're not permitted to stress the greatness of the miracles that took place in Tziyat Mitzrayim. The Baal HaGadol says, no. Kol Amar B'Lasap B'Dafka Pesach Night, where essentially the night is a night which is the Malabi Derech HaTeva, the whole night is the Malabi Derech HaTeva. Lel Shimur Mul Hashem, Lel Tziyat Meretz Mitzrayim. U'alayla Azel Hashem. And therefore, Dafka, we talk about miracles, Kol Amar B'Lasap B'Bi Tziyat Mitzrayim, about the Malabi Derech HaTeva, Arayim Meshubach. Normally that's not the case. But Dafka, Lel HaSeder, that is the case. Yes. Josh, yeah.
Was there a Shiva thing about the theory, the scientific theories as to how this was possible scientifically, and try and match this up with science?
Why do you want me to discuss that right now?
Because I've been curious about this lately.
I mean, in general, you know that kimat every single ness in Tanakh has in it, shall we say, an approach that could be understood by Derech HaTeva, including Kriyas Yamsuf. I can go down one aset to the next. So Kanirah Hashem basically does not want the world to operate the Malam Derech HaTeva. He prefers that it operates the Derech HaTeva.
Right.
Except that the Almighty was stuck in all these situations where he was compelled to operate the Malam Derech HaTeva. But that's not the ideal. And therefore, even when he does operate Shalom Derech HaTeva, he tries to minimize the Shalom Derech HaTeva and tries to frame it or couch it within nature.
Yeah, I was thinking that also, like, that it can be kind of within nature and lamala min hateva at the same time, because it's natural how it happened, but it's unnatural the fact that it happened and the chance that
that correct.
Happened.
That's right. What you're saying is 100% correct. I believe that's generally the approach of Chazal to Nisim, lamala min hateva. It's very clear the Ramban writes it explicitly in Parshas Bo. But it's not just the Ramban. The distinction, for example, between there's a very striking medrash in Bezei Sabrocha. I don't know if I'm expressing the medrash properly. Maybe I'm dramatizing, as I am wont to do. So the way I dramatize the medrash, there is a dialogue between Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Who is greater? Am I greater or are you greater? And essentially what the medrash answers is that who is greater? Even though we know Moshe Rabbeinu is greater. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem as Paklaya Meira. Avraham Avinu did not. Moshe was zochet to nevuah, Madrega nevuah, which Avraham Avinu was not zochet to. But in one respect, Avraham Avinu is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is that? We call Avraham Avinu, we say in the Shemana Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. What does it mean, Elokei Avraham? The God that I acquired. The God of Avraham. We don't say Elokei Moshe. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu, shall we say, did not acquire Hashem's Baruch. Hashem's Baruch already was extant, was operative. Moshe Rabbeinu simply, shall we say, jumped aboard. Hashem and Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they discovered, especially Avraham Avinu, discovered Hashem's Baruch, shall we say, from the constellations and from the nebula and from the stars and the light. Lord, the Rambam, the Midrashim, described it at great length. So in that respect, he is, in effect, Hashem is Baruch is in his kinyan. He acquired Hashem is Baruch as a kinyan. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And yet, Hashem is Baruch, we don't see that he performs miracles for Avraham Avinu. No, everything is betoch hateva. Legamri, everything is natural, completely. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's all nisim, eisei, sibeisim, from beginning to end. Hakol mal v'yach hateva. But that, we know, is not the ideal. The Ramban says it very clearly in Chumash, that's why one of the reasons that Mesillas Yeshayahu quotes in the from the Zayar and others. One of the reasons why the Nesim did not want to go to Eretz Yisrael, because they knew in Eretz Yisrael, what's going to happen there? No longer Lema Medech HaTeva. No longer, Hashem is no longer going to deal with us where He dealt with the Dor Dei and the Midbar. Nisim, Luyim, supernatural, metaphysical, miraculous events, one after the next. That's not the way Hashem is brought wants us to operate. He wants us to operate Medech HaTeva. I think I mentioned to you the Gemara in Shabbos. I'm sure I did. The Gemara in Shabbos, which is very famous. Here it comes in the second row. Where's Rabbi Simon saying the Shia? I hope not in this classroom.
No idea.
I'm asking, I don't know. Maybe it's possible to find out. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, which I often have quoted to you. Incredibly striking Gemara. You're familiar with the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Gilan of Vez, in Perek Bamed Behema, the fifth Perek of Shabbos, Tana Abad of Maisa Be'echa Shemesa Ishto, a person whose wife died, Vinicha Ben Linok, and they had a very young child, let's say a child a month or two old. V'loyelo Sar Vinicha, he couldn't tie a wet nurse to nurse the child. V'nasa Lo Nes, and that's occurred, V'nitzichol of Dabi B'shnei Dabi Isha. He developed breasts. The Gemara said, like the two breasts of a woman. The Eni gets to know, he nursed the child. And they speak like, Omer Rav Yisid, look at the reactions of Chazal. Omer Rav Yisid, Bo Rei, Kama, Godel, Olam Zeh, Shenasol, Neskazeh, he must be a great Olam Godel. To have such a nest, to develop breasts, to nurse a child. The Gemara continues, Omer Abaye, Kama, Adraba, Kama, Gorua, Olam Zeh, this fellow is terrible. Why? Hashem had to be Mishana Sidra Breshis in order to be able to feed the child. And that is the position which the Chazal have accepted. Kama Garua Adam Zeh. Hashem does not want to be Mishana Sidra Breshis. He wants to operate, and we should operate, with Chukia Teva. So that is the ideal. And Ramban says it very clearly at the end of Parshas Bo, that we should be operating B'toch HaTeva. Hashem created immutable laws of nature, and we are obligated, we are bound by them. He doesn't want the world to, shall we say, be upended by being compelled to go ahead and do things along with Derech HaTeva. That is something which is a mutation, it's something which is unnatural, something which is literally not within the tichnun, the plan of Hashem Yisbarach when He created the world. Okay, let's go a bit further here. And then the famous story that's quoted over here, Maise, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Lazar, Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tavra, Shem Yisun, Ben Bnei Brak, Rabbi Yisafim, Mitzias, Mitzvay, Golosa, Alayla, Ashebol, Talmideyem, Yomalem, Rabbi Seinu, Yigi Azman, Kriya Shema, Shel Shachris. I mean, what's the purpose of this Maise? Before Shem say, it shows that even we are cool and Chachamim, there's still a mitzvah to tell about Yisias Mitzvay. That's a simple shot in this particular story. By the way, somebody asked me, why does that tell us they were in Bnei Brak? Somebody asked me, why is it mentioned that the student in Bnei Brak? So there's a number of answers to that question as well. Some actually suggest that we have to understand how Rabbi Akiva was allowed to sit Paseba in the presence of his Rebbe, Rabbi Lazar. This is a sugya psochit. The Gemara said, Talmud in the Rabbah, and it's our Haseba. A Talmud in front of his Rebbe should not sit by a Seba. And that's the question. So he's in front of his Rebbe, how can he sit by a Seba? Of course, the answer is the Rebbe gives you permission, then you're allowed to sit by a Seba. Then you can be blind. That's what we assume. Even though this doesn't seem to be likely, because there are many cases which Rabbi Lazar did not want to relinquish his honor. He wanted to be Meichel on his covenant with Rabbi Akiva. He was afraid Rabbi Akiva would become conceited. So in effect, the question comes back to haunt us, namely, why or how could Rabbi Akiva sit by a Seba?